Ladies and gentlemen, I have decided to retain the lighting of yesterday because I like the effect of it. I like what it did. I like the shadows. I like the subdued lighting. I was going to wear a purple shirt, my purple shirt today, but it didn't seem appropriate. I was going to wear a t-shirt because it's supposed to be Casual Friday, but I didn't think that was appropriate because today I'm going to talk about asteroids. And I used to fantasize about asteroids. My sons and I did because I introduced them to my asteroid cult. And we often fantasized. You often hear about the size of asteroids and that an asteroid, say the size of a Volkswagen, could destroy life as we know it on Earth. And anytime something's big, it's often compared to the size of Texas. And so we often fantasized, my sons and I, of an asteroid the size of Texas hitting the Earth. And then the fantasy became more sophisticated, and we soon began discussing an asteroid the shape of Texas, the actual shape of the state of Texas. And we thought, how phenomenal and interesting would it be if that meteor, that asteroid, I'm sorry, fell on Texas like a cookie cutter. And the asteroid that was in the exact shape of Texas by some divine miracle fell on Texas and pushed Texas into the ground. And so there was a Texas-shaped hole in the earth because of the Texas-shaped meteor that fell upon Texas. And so if you saw it from outer space, you would just think, oh, wow, Texas looks like it turned black. I think Texas turned black. And, of course, you would learn that, oh, it's a Texas-sized meteor. Texas-shaped meteor fell on Texas. That's what had happened. God dang. You could go there and stand on the border of Arizona and look over there, and there's that big hole called Texas. So Texas would no longer be a state. It would be a hole. And you'd go to visit the hole of Texas. That would be H-O-L-E, not W-H-O-L-E. Asteroids are capable of this kind of destruction. Now, I am going to take us away from this specter of a Texas-shaped asteroid, and I'm going to turn us to the scripture. There's a verse that really gives me the creeps, but I like it for that reason. It's the unveiling, chapter 16, verse 18. Let's start with verse 17 to get the creepy context. And the seventh messenger pours out his bowl. We're not there yet. The seventh messenger. This is crazy stuff. But anyway, and a loud voice came out of the temple of God saying, it has occurred, and lightnings and voices and thunders occurred, and a great earthquake occurred such as did not occur since mankind came to be on the earth. Of such proportions was the quake, and so great. And the great city came to be divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fall. Ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be a great earthquake, such as not occurred, get this, here's the quote, quote, since mankind came to be on the earth. Since mankind came to be on the earth. That is a creepy statement that suggests to us that there have been major earthquakes that occurred before mankind came to be on the earth. And I'm thinking now of the disruption of the world alluded to yesterday, because the disruption of the world happened before mankind came to be on the earth. There were no inhabitants of the primal earth, the first earth that was disrupted, and which I believe produced the space fragments that we have known as meteors, comets, and asteroids. These are the big boys. They're so large that they have their own gravitational pull. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, their own gravitational pull. And so I always assumed that this earthquake of the end time was going to be initiated from within, a fault sliding. As we read in Isaiah, the earth to slide shall be sliding. And it could very well be. But it could be that there will be a meteor hit the earth that will quake the earth and shake it and knock every city down. This is when all your cities go. They're gone. The cities of the nations fall. Ladies and gentlemen, not one. You remember when Jesus looked at the temple and said, not one stone will remain upon another one? Likewise, look at the buildings today in your city. Not one story of a building is going to remain on another story. Not one pane of glass will remain intact. Everything is going to be leveled. And when I look at the city of Sao Paulo here, it just seems incredible. Or if you're in New York City, it's incredible to think. The apostles were stunned when Jesus said not one stone would be left on another one. They looked at that and said, what? How can it be? Well, all it took was the armies of Rome to dismantle it. They came like a horde of ants on a picnic, and they demolished the temple. Well, these meteors and asteroids and things from heaven, space particles, will fall on this earth like ants on a picnic. And it's going to be a destructive force, the likes of which have not been since mankind has come to be upon the earth. But again, if you look at the moon with a telescope or with your naked eye, the moon is pockmarked. With what? Not internal earthquakes. It has been pummeled, the moon has, with meteors and asteroids. The moon has unfortunately come in the way of asteroids. When you get into the way of an asteroid, it doesn't politely honk its horn and ask you to kindly get out of the way. It pummels you. Kapoof. And some theorize that the moon is actually part of the earth, that when the earth was spinning out of this whatever, the moon flew out. I don't know where. I don't know. The moon is very similar in geological, whatever you call it, construction. What it's made of. You know, the cheese. That same cheese that we have in Wisconsin. I'm very scientific about this, and I know about this. So don't doubt me one bit here. So, before I get to the asteroids, I mentioned yesterday I was going to tell you about the face, because this is the analogy Jesus Christ gave. Isn't it? He said, and the sun became black as sack. No, that's not Jesus. What does Jesus say? Hang on. He talks about the face. Or is that in the unveiling? I'm sorry. That's not Jesus. That's in the unveiling. The stars of heaven fall. This is the unveiling 6. I can't see the verse number because it's too dark in here. 13 maybe. And the stars of heaven fall on the earth as a fig tree is casting its shriveled figs, quaking under a great wind. I assumed, I guess, that Jesus gave that analogy because he always liked to use the figs. Where would our Lord have been without figs? I mean, they really served him well in the analogy department. But fig trees, according to A.E. Nock, who lived in California, I wouldn't know this. I haven't had great experience with fig trees. I eat their product, the product of the fig tree. But fig trees, quote, often fail to ripen the full crop, especially if water is wanting and there is much heat. The figs shrivel up, their stems become brittle, so that the least touch breaks them off. A sudden gust of wind will send showers of these shriveled figs to the ground. Such is the picture presented of the falling stars. I like this quote too. Listen to this. Such is the picture presented. He says, I have watched a single meteor with considerable dread as it hissed across the sky. Yeah, you don't know where it's going to fall, for there was no telling where it would strike. How terrible it would be to have the sky covered with them, thick as a barrage of bullets in a battle. Thick as a barrage of bullets in a battle. You often see people in the movies, in the war movies, shooting, and it's a barrage of bullets. And you always in the movies, people dodge them. You know, they run and they duck, and the bullets never hit them, right? In most movies. And so you wonder, how do people duck that? So we're having a barrage of meteors like the rain. They're coming like the rain, and you won't be able to dodge them. That's why men and women and children are hiding in the rocks. They're hiding, trying to hide from this barrage. And I believe that there is an asteroid or a meteor called Absinthe. It has a name. We're not there. That gives me the creeps just to say it. Named Absinthe. The thing has a name. But did you know that asteroids have names? And it's going to strike the earth, and it's going to make the waters bitter. If you think this stuff's figurative, you're crazy, because this stuff has happened before. Now, let me tell you a thing or two about asteroids. They're minor planets, especially those of the inner solar system. We have them in our own solar system. I get this from Wikipedia. The larger ones also have been called planetoids. It's very innocent sounding, but it's not. These terms have historically been applied to any astronomical object orbiting the sun that did not show a disk of a planet. In other words, it's not a planet, but it was observed to have the characteristics of an active comet. But as minor planets in the outer solar system were discovered, they were often distinguished from traditional asteroids. Their volatile-based surfaces were found to resemble comets. They are grouped with the outer bodies, centaurs, Neptune Trojans, and trans-Neptunian objects. Oh, I love that. A trans-Neptunian object. Lord, show me a trans-Neptunian object. I forgot to tell you, that back in 1967, I believe it was, I was sitting on the porch of Bill and Fran Willeman in Canton, Ohio, and it was July the 5th, I do believe, and as I was sitting, I saw a giant green ball. It looked like a green ball. It was definitely round. It was spherical. It may have been a trans-Neptunian object, for all I know. And how old was I then? 59, 61, I was like 8 years old. And I said, oh, look, a trans-Neptunian object. And the thing hissed. I swear to God, it went, and it was green, and it was like sizzling. And it on its perimeter were like little flashes of light. And since it was the day after the 4th of July, I thought maybe it was leftover fireworks. Well, the next day in the newspaper, my mom showed me, look at this, Martin. What? It was a trans-Neptunian object. No, it was a meteor, and it was visible throughout the western U.S. The entire United States saw this thing. I saw it as a giant hissing green ball, and I never forgot it. Obviously, it stuck with me, and to find out that it was a meteor, it was like, wow, and that people across the United States saw this thing. And I don't know if it actually landed, but my God, these things, most of them break up before they hit the earth, but can you imagine one landing and hitting the earth? That sounds pretty interesting to me. So anyway, there are millions of asteroids, many thought to be the shattered remnants of planetesimals. Planetesimals, these are small planets. Shattered remnants. This is what I was telling you. This is in Wikipedia. They don't know this, but this is what happened at the disruption of the world. There was a major, shall we say, celestial scuffle involving Satan, I believe. And as I told you, heavenly battles have their visible aspects on the earth and on the surrounding heaven that surrounds the earth, and this is what happened at the disruption. Many of the planets that we don't even know today were planets. They're no longer planets. They are pieces of planets or planetismals, according to Wikipedia. I'm going to go to that reference, too. There's a live link there. Bodies within the young sun's solar nebula never grew large enough to become planets. Poor things. They wanted to grow up to become planets, but they never did. So they had to settle to become asteroids. And they began to enjoy the asteroid designation. And they were no longer upset that they couldn't become planets. I mean, I guess maybe it was a form of rebellion. You want to become a planet. You're on your way to planethood. Something happens. You collide with another planet. It's like, oh, crap. Now I'm a bunch of fragments. But then your fragments become glorified and they become known as asteroids. And then you start to inhabit that role of an asteroid. You can't be a planet. You settle for it. You can't beat them. Join them. So the large majority of known asteroids orbit in the asteroid belt between the orbits of Mars and Jupiter, and they're co-orbital with Jupiter. These are called the Jupiter Trojans. You know, isn't that cool? The Trojan horse, right? Something that sneaks in there. A computer virus is called a Trojan. It's something that sneaks in. We're going to have asteroids that are Trojan asteroids that are going to sneak into the Earth and cause great havoc and cause people to hide in the rocks. However, the orbital families exist with significant populations, including the near-Earth asteroids. Ooh, the near-Earth asteroids. There are near-Earth asteroids, and they have names. This is so cool. Of course, we have Absinthe, which is named in the unveiling, but we have other asteroids that have names. These are near-Earth asteroids, and it looks like I'm going to have to talk about those on Monday because I am out of time. My goodness. Near-Earth asteroids. All right. I'm going to name you some famous asteroids. Maybe we'll talk about Absinthe, the outer space body that comes to Earth and lands on the Earth. But know this for now, that our little tiny sheath of protection that we call the atmosphere is no match for God. And we have a false security today as we ride our oblate spheroid at great speeds across the solar system. We should all have earth belts if we knew how fast we're revolving and how fast at the same time we're being hurtled around the sun. These forces are benevolent now, but they will become malevolent when God comes to the earth to wake up the inhabitants of the earth. Again, we are woken up early, and I thank God for that. So over the weekend, I want you to look at the celestial bodies. I want you to look at the sun, look at the moon, appreciate the stars while you can, because the day is coming when these will turn against humanity, and God's arm will weigh heavy upon the inhabitants of the earth. But by this means, they will learn righteousness.